Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Recent item from a Christian magazine declared that true evangelicals are clarifying that marriage is a core belief.
最近有一本基督教杂志出版了一篇文章，说的是正统的福音派认为，婚姻属于基督教的核心信仰。
Marriage has become a public battlefront.
目前婚姻已经成为属灵征战的前沿阵地。
Current events are pushing evangelical groups to express their belief in this orthodox teaching.
所以这些近来的一些事件，迫使福音派用正统的教导来再次表达他们自己的观点。
But marriage has always been a battleground since Adam and Eve sinned.
但其实自从亚当和夏娃犯罪以后，婚姻就已经成为一场毫无休止的征战。
Their sin separated them from God.
他们的罪孽使其与神分隔。
And sin introduced conflict into marriage.
同时罪也把征战带入了婚姻。
God has revealed to us how marriage should be.
神已经向我们启示了什么是婚姻的真谛。
He has declared how marriage should function.
他也告诉我们如何活出婚姻的真谛。
He has given to husbands and wives distinct roles or responsibilities within marriage.
他也给予丈夫和妻子们在婚姻中明确的角色，并阐明了他们相应的责任。
And these are based upon the very nature of marriage which He created.
所有的这些都是出于神设立婚姻的本质。
It is wise and God-honoring to submit to the God-given roles in marriage.
夫妻在婚姻中完全的顺服神所设定的角色，不但是明智的，更是荣耀神的。
It pleases God when husbands and wives obey Him.
所以说，每当丈夫或者妻子顺从神时，便蒙神的喜悦。
There is a harmony in the marriage when both are obeying.
每当双方都遵守神旨意的时候，就会带来和谐的婚姻。
So please look with me at Ephesians chapter 5.
所以说，请和我们一起看一下以弗所书第五章。
Starting in verse 15, Paul gives certain foundation principles which will help you see the importance of following God's command concerning relationships.
从第十五节开始，保罗给出了一些基本的原则，以帮助我们明白遵行神对一些关系，对我们这些关系的教导是至关重要的。
Paul applies them to marriage among other relationships.
除了其他的一些关系以外，保罗也将这些关系运用到我们的婚姻当中。
Then in verses 22 to 33, Paul explains how those principles should be lived out in marriage.
然后从22到23节，保罗解释如何在婚姻里面活出这些原则来。
Verses 15 to 17 give the first of the three foundational principles for relationships and particularly for marriage.
在15到17节中给出了这三个有关的关系，特别是婚姻关系。
First, this age in history makes it important to follow God's commands in marriage.
首先，因为这个时代使得遵守神在婚姻中的教导至关重要。
Paul says in verse 16 that the times are evil.
保罗在十六节里面明确指出，现在我们这个时代是邪恶的时代。
The times refer to this age in which we live.
这里的时代就是指我们现在生活的这个年代。
Now, Paul should not have to tell us this.
其实保罗无需告诉我们这一点。
We can observe the evil in the world.
我们自己就能看见这世上的邪恶。
The attacks against God and Christian and the Christian faith are numerous.
比如攻击神及信徒的事件层出不穷。
But it's good to be reminded that the times are evil.
但提醒我们时代的邪恶是非常重要的。
We don't always see the evil.
因为我们不是常常能意识到这些恶的。
We can become so used to what is wrong that it becomes normal.
问题是我们对恶已经司空见惯了，所以说恶反而成为正常的现象。
And normal will not feel wrong.
我们对此也反而成了对恶反而成了我们正常现象。
God's word judges for us what is good and what is evil.
神道告诉我们何为善，何为恶。
So So use the Bible to evaluate the culture around you.
所以请用圣经的教导来评价我们周围的世界。
If something is normal in the culture for marriage, it is not necessarily right.
如果世俗文化中认为婚姻中的某种观点是正确的，我们就应该注意。
It may be evil.
正确的不一定是正常的不一定是正确的。
The Bible warns us that the times will get progressively worse.
圣经警告我们，我们这个时代越来越邪恶。
So be on guard against the evil.
因此对恶要时刻警惕。
Paul says in verses 15 and 16 to be wise and not foolish.
保罗在15-16节经文中说到，要当像智慧人，不要像愚昧人。
The New Testament uses the word foolish regularly with moral implications.
新约中用到愚昧这个词，一般与德行有关。
The foolish person does not rightly account for God and what God does.
愚昧人无视神以及神的作为。
Now this fits the biblical statements on wisdom.
这点与圣经对智慧的阐述是完全相符合的。
Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
箴言9章10节中说到，敬畏耶和华是智慧的开端。
The wise person lives in awe of God.
智慧人敬畏神。
They understand his power.
他们知晓神的大能。
They know that he is holy.
他们知晓他的圣洁。
So be wise and not foolish.
所以我们应当当智慧人而非做愚昧人。
If you are wise, you will want to understand the will of the Lord.
如果你有智慧，你就会要想要明白神的旨意。
And that is what verse 17 says.
这一点就是十七节中所说到的。
And this applies to marriage as much as any other area.
这点其实既能运用到在婚姻中，也适合其他领域。
Do not go to godless people to learn how marriage should be.
千万不要从非信徒那里面学习婚姻的本质。
Seek to understand the will of the Lord.
而要寻求明白神的旨意。
And it's the Bible that reveals to you God's will.
是圣经就是向我们启示了这个神的旨意。
Do you want to be wise in these evil times?
你想不想在这个邪恶的时代成为一个智慧人呢？
Learn and follow what the Bible says about marriage.
其实很简单，那么就学习和遵循圣经所言的一贯婚姻的教导。
We observe a second foundational principle in verse 18.
在十八节中，我们能看到这第二个基本原则。
You need the Holy Spirit to live victoriously in marriage.
在婚姻中，我们需要圣灵的帮助来得胜。
Paul makes a negative comparison.
保罗用一个反面的比喻。
Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit.
不要醉酒，乃要被圣灵充满。
Being filled with alcohol makes a person drunk.
被酒精充满，只能使人烂醉。
They lose control.
失去控制。
And believers should not do that.
信徒们千万不能醉酒。
Instead, they should submit to the Holy Spirit and be under His control.
相反，我们应当顺从圣灵以及他的管教。
You submit to the Spirit when you choose to obey God's commands.
当选择遵守神的诫命的时候，就是要顺从圣灵的表现。
And the Spirit then strengthens you to obey.
这圣灵呢，也会帮助我们进一步的顺服。
Paul lists some of the things which we are to do when we submit to the Spirit.
保罗也列出了一些我们顺从圣灵时当做的事情。
He appears to choose these because they particularly contrast with drunkenness.
他有选择的列出了这些，是因为他们以醉酒的形成了鲜明的对比。
Verse 19 says, "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs."
十九节说到，当用诗章、颂词、灵歌彼此对说。
Sing and praise God in your hearts.
口唱心和的赞美主。
Verse 20 adds, give thanks for all things.
二十节又加上凡事感谢神。
Verse 21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ.
二十一节又说，当存敬畏基督的心，彼此顺服。
Now the primary command was in verse 18.
一个首要教导呢，是在第十八节中。
Be filled with the Spirit.
就是 既要被乃要被圣灵充满。
The next three verses are all dependent upon that.
这十八节以后的三节经文都是围绕这个教导展开的。
Submitting to one another is further developed by giving three examples of relationships where this is necessary.
彼此顺服的教导，这又借着这三种关系的例证来进一步说明其必要性。
It's necessary in marriage, verses 22 to 33.
这是在婚姻关系里面是有必要的。
It's necessary between parents and children, chapter 6, verses 1 to 4.
在第下面一节中，在父母与子女关系当中也是重要的。
And it was necessary between slaves and masters in chapter 6, verses 5 to 9.
在第六章五到九节里面，也是在主仆关系中也是非常必要的。
Now, third principle follows closely on the second.
这第三个基本原则又紧跟第二个。
There's a mutual submitting among all believers.
那就是众信徒要彼此顺服。
Look again at verse 21.
请再看一下第二十一节。
Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ.
当存敬畏耶和华耶稣的心，彼此顺服。
The three pairs of relationships which follow require submitting to one another.
上面所论到的这三组关系都要求彼此顺服。
In particular, Paul tells wives that they should submit to their own husband.
在婚姻中，尤其保罗告诉妻子们要顺服自己的丈夫。
But he also tells husbands to love their wives.
但同时，他也告诉丈夫们要爱自己的妻子。
A husband's love is a form of submission.
丈夫的爱也是一种顺服的形式。
He submits his desires and needs in order to do what is best for his wife.
他顺从自己的愿望和需要，好使妻子得到益处。
True biblical love seeks the best for the other person.
其实，神的爱只是只求别人的好。
True biblical love is willing to sacrifice.
也确实，神的爱是一种牺牲的爱。
You will think more highly of others than yourself when you are truly loving others.
当你真正爱人的时候，你就会考虑别人的好处，过于考虑自己的。
This is submitting to one another.
这就是彼此顺服。
Now it expresses itself differently.
虽然表达不一样。
Nonetheless, it is a form of submitting.
这都是顺服的一种表现。
As you consider marriage and all relationships, remember these important basic principles.
当你思考婚姻和其他关系的时候，请时刻记住这些重要的基本原则。
The world around us does not hold to God's standard.
我们所处的这个世界不需要与遵从神的标准。
It's wise to know God's will.
但是，明白神的旨意却是明智之举。
And to do God's will, we need His Spirit in us.
我们也需要圣灵在我们心里面帮我们行出神的旨意来。
And we need to submit to Him.
我们要顺服他。
Submitting to Him includes thinking of others more highly than ourselves.
顺服神就包括不求自己的益处，只求他人的益处。
This brings us then to the specific roles which God has given to husbands and wives.
神说丈夫和妻子有各自的角色。
Paul addresses wives first, but only briefly.
保罗简短地强调了妻子的角色。
And we'll consider the wives first, and then look more carefully at the role of husbands.
我们也就先来思考一下妻子们，然后再思考一下丈夫的角色。
Look at verse 22 and then at verse 33.
请看第22节，然后再看33节。
Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord.
22节中写道，你们做妻子的当顺服自己的丈夫，如同顺服主。
Then in the last half of verse 33, Paul says the wife must respect her husband.
在33节的下半节，保罗说道，妻子也当敬重她的丈夫。
Submission and respect are the two responsibilities which Paul requires of wives.
由此可见，这顺服和敬重是保罗要求妻子们所履行的两个责任。
We considered the meaning of submission in last month's sermon on 1 Peter 3.
让我们再回顾一下上个月在彼得前书三章一到七节中的讲道，有关于顺服的争议。
Submission means accepting direction from another.
顺服就是指接受对方的指挥或者吩咐。
It does not mean that one is smarter or better than the other.
但这并不是说施方比设方更加优秀。
Respect addresses more the attitude in which one submits.
敬重这个词强调的重点在于顺服者的态度。
In Western culture, respect is less and less understood.
在西方文化里面，对敬重的理解已经微乎其微了。
A colleague was a frequent lecturer at a Bible school in Germany.
我有一个同事是在德国神学院里面经常做讲师。
He spoke regularly on this topic.
他也会经常定期讨论这个课题。
At one point, he decided to ask the young women if they could give examples how a wife could show respect to her husband.
有一次，他决定问一下一些年轻的女士们，是否可以分享一下她们各自的经历。
They could not think of any.
这些年轻女士们是，结果她们根本想不出任何这些事情。
If you struggle with that, here are a few ideas.
如果你也为此有挣扎的话，我们这有一些建议可供参考。
Appreciate the work which your husband does.
比如，赞扬你丈夫所做的事。
Do not belittle his efforts to provide for the family.
不要轻视他为家庭的付出。
Do not talk bad about your husband to others.
不要在别人面前侮辱你的丈夫。
Support your husband's decisions, especially within the family.
我们做妻子应该支持他决定，尤其是在家庭里的决定。
Seek his opinion and his advice.
寻求丈夫的观点及建议。
You all can talk about this together.
我们都可以一起讨论。
Everyone would benefit by discussing together what shows respect.
当我们以彼此尊重的方式来讨论的时候，其实双方都可以获益。
When do you feel respected?
什么时候你感到被尊重了呢？
When do you not feel respected?
什么时候你感到没有被尊重？
Now to show submission and respect can be challenging.
在婚姻当中体现顺服和敬重是一种挑战。
But Paul in verse 23 gives a two-part reason.
保罗在第二十三节中给出了两个应当如此行的理由。
First, he says, for the husband is the head of the wife.
首先，他说，因为丈夫是妻子的头。
When God created Adam and Eve, he created Adam first.
当神造亚当和夏娃时，他是先造的亚当。
When he established marriage, he made Adam the head.
当他设立婚姻时，他也置亚当为首。
God gave to Adam the role of leadership.
神给亚当的是一个领导者的角色。
A wife should submit because this is what God intended in marriage.
所以作为妻子应当顺服，因为这是神对婚姻的设计的理念。
Second, he makes a comparison.
其次，他也做了一个比较。
For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is Savior.
他说，因为丈夫是妻子的头，如同基督是教会头，他又是教会全体的救主。
A wife should submit because of the analogy between marriage and the relationship of Christ to the church.
所以妻子应当顺服，就像神把婚姻比作基督和教会的这个关系一样。
This analogy is very important in Paul's teaching here.
保罗在此教导中这个比喻是非常重要的。
It is the pattern both for the wife and the husband.
是夫妻双方都应要效法的。
In verse 32, he refers to becoming one flesh as a profound mystery.
在第三十二节，他提到两人合为一体是一个极大的奥秘。
He had been talking about marriage in verse 31.
在三十一节，他讨论婚姻。
But he says that he's referring to Christ and the church in verse 32.
在三十二节，他则用婚姻来比作基督与教会的关系。
The reader should conclude that the marriage relationship intentionally pictures the relationship between Christ and the church.
所以在这我们应该注意，婚姻关系其实是展现的是一幅基督与教会关系的画面。
Wives, when you submit to your husbands, you picture the way the church should submit to Jesus.
因此，做妻子们，当你们顺服丈夫的时候，你们其实在描绘教会。教会是如何顺服耶稣的画面。
Your submission is much bigger than you and your marriage.
其实你的顺服的这个意义远远大于你在婚姻中的顺服。
You are picturing a divine truth about spiritual relations.
你正在绘制一幅圣洁的属灵关系的蓝图。
Now Paul gives more attention in this passage to the role of the husband than of the wife.
在这章节里面，保罗给予丈夫的角色也更多的关注。
Paul does this not just to explain the role of the husband.
保罗这么做，并不仅仅是解释丈夫的角色。
He teaches here about Jesus and the church as well.
在这，他也对耶稣和教会的关系给出了教导。
God tells husbands to love their wives sacrificially.
神告诫丈夫们要以牺牲的爱爱妻子。
This is based in creation.
这是建立在神设立婚姻的基础上。
And it's based on the analogy with Christ and the church.
也建立在基督和教会这个关系的基础上。
And both reasons also explain what this love looks like.
这两者都阐述了这是一种什么样的爱。
It's easiest first to consider the reason for loving which exists in creation.
先从创始之初来考虑牺牲的爱存在的原因就比较容易了。
When God created marriage, He created man and woman to be united.
当神设立了婚姻，他造男造女，并把他们彼此联合。
So the two would become one flesh.
这两人成为一体。
And we cannot be sure exactly how this union occurs.
我们无法正确无误地明白这样的联合是怎样发生的。
We are not even sure what it all means.
甚至我们不明白这种联合的意义。
But we do know from this passage that it means that a man should treat his wife as his own body.
但从这一章里面我们知道，这是指一个男人应当对待他的妻子好像对待他自己的身体。
That he has become one flesh with his wife means that he should treat her as his own flesh.
他与妻子联合，就是指对待妻子要像对待自己的身体一样。
Look at verse 28.
看一下二十八节。
Husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies.
丈夫也当照样爱妻子，如同爱自己的身子。
He who loves his wife loves himself.
爱妻子便是爱自己。
Now we obviously care for our own bodies.
很显然，我们都在乎自己的身体。
No one, Paul says, ever hated his own body.
保罗说，从来没有人恨过自己的身体。
He feeds and cares for it.
总是保养顾惜。
When you are cold, you put more clothes on.
当你感觉寒冷时，你会添衣。
When you are hungry, you get food.
当你感觉饥饿时，你会饮食。
When you are thirsty, you get something to drink.
当你感觉饥渴时，你会饮水。
If you experience pain, you try to find the cause and alleviate it.
当你感觉痛时，你会尝试找出原因，并想方设法来缓解疼痛。
Even your routines are important to you.
甚至你的日常习惯对你来也非常重要。
Do you get coffee or tea in the morning?
你们是不是每天早上喝咖啡或者喝茶？
Is it important to you?
这对你来说是否重要？
Do you brush your teeth even when you're tired?
即使你疲倦的时候，你是否还会先刷牙再睡觉？
This is the care which a husband should have for his wife.
这样的保养顾惜其实是丈夫应该给予妻子。
It should be the same care that he shows for his own body.
给妻子的关怀和对自己身体的关怀应该是完全一致的。
If you are hungry, do you just wait until someone feeds you?
如果你饿了，你会等人来喂你吗？
If you can, you get up and get food.
如果可以的话，你可以自己起来弄吃的。
If your wife has a true need,Be just as purposeful to meet it.
如果你妻子有需要的话，你就先去满足她。
Get moving and do something about it.
丈夫们，我们现在就起来行动吧。
What do we see as typical or normal in our culture?
在我们的文化中，哪些事情我们都习以为常了呢？
A man comes home from work.
当一个男人下班回到家，
He sits down.
他先坐下。
Perhaps he reads or watches something.
可能他先读点或者看点什么东西。
And he expects to have his meal prepared for him.
因为他期待，他太太为他精心准备的食物。
Because he is tired, he gives his body a rest.
因为这个时候，他先生他累了，他需要他的身体一个很好的休息。
What if his wife had worked all day too?
那如果你的妻子也工作了一天呢？
What if she were tired too?
如果她也很累呢？
What would he do if he treated his wife as his own body?
若丈夫对待妻子就像对待自己的身体一样，那他会做什么？
What should he do?
他应该做些什么？
The second reason that a husband should love his wife sacrificially is even more challenging.
第二个，丈夫要以牺牲的爱爱妻子的理由就更具挑战性。
It's the analogy to Christ and the church.
这样的爱是基督与教会这个关系的。
The relationship between a husband and wife pictures the relationship between Jesus Christ and the church.
夫妻间的关系就好像耶稣和教会的关系。
And the relationship between Christ and the church provides instruction on how the husband should relate to his wife.
耶稣与教会的关系反过来也是对夫妻关系提供了指导。
First,Paul says that the husband should love his wife as Christ loved the church.
首先，保罗说，丈夫爱妻子就像耶稣爱教会一样。
The standard of Christ's love is found in verse 25.
在二十五节中，我们可以看到耶稣的爱是什么样的标准。
He gave himself up for her.
他为教会舍己。
The Son of Man took on human flesh.
神子成为人的形象。
He lived a perfect sinless life as a man.
他是一个完美无瑕疵的人。
And then according to God's plan, he willingly died by crucifixion.
然而因着神的计划，他心甘情愿地死在十字架上。
Peter says he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. 1 Peter 2:24.
在彼得前书二章二十四节中写道，他被挂在木头上，亲身担当了我们罪，使我们既然在罪上死，
This is the standard of love which Jesus has set.
刚才所说的，这就是耶稣给我们的爱的标准。
This is the level of love that husbands are responsible to show their wives.
这份爱是丈夫们有责任要表达给妻子的。
This is a love that puts self in second place.
这也是一种先人克己的爱。
We might neglect our own body.
我们或许会不在乎自己的身体。
Jesus will never neglect his body, the church.
但耶稣永远不会忽视他的身体，教会。
Jesus demonstrated his love clearly and without question.
在这，耶稣是向人如此清楚不过的，向人彰显他的爱。
It seems like a high standard for a man to love his wife like his own body.
有人会认为，要丈夫爱妻子好像爱自己的身体，这样的要求似乎太高了。
It's even higher to love as Christ loved us.
甚至比基督爱人的要求还要高。
The fact that our wives are not without sin is never an excuse.
但实际上，我们不能用我们的妻子依然是罪人这个借口来驳斥以上的观点。
Yes, they make mistakes.
没错，他们会犯错。
And yes, they even sin as do we husbands.
没错，他们甚至犯罪，就像我们做丈夫的一样。
But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
但是，基督在我们还做罪人的时候为我们死了。
Husbands, you cannot use any failings in your wife to excuse you from loving her as Christ loved the church.
所以，丈夫们，你们不要以妻子软弱、失败为由，不给予她像基督对待教会一样的爱。
There's a second aspect of this analogy as well.
这个比喻有第二层意思。
Christ loved the church and gave himself for her for the sake of her moral purity.
耶稣爱教会，却为他舍己是为了道德洁净的缘故。
Look again at verses 25 to 27.
我们再看一下二十五节到二十六节。
Could you read those?
Yeah. 我把这一段经文读一下。你们做丈夫的，要爱你们的妻子，正如基督爱教会，为教会舍己。要用水借着道把教会洗净，成为圣洁，可以献给自己，作为荣耀的教会，毫无玷污。皱纹等类的病，乃是圣洁没有瑕疵的。
This helps us understand the purpose of His love.
这可以帮助我们去理解基督之爱的目的。
And it relates to the purpose of a husband's love for his wife.
也与丈夫爱妻子的目的有关联。
We need Christ to make us pure.
我们需要耶稣来洁净我们。
We cannot deal with our own sinfulness.
我们无法靠自己来解决罪的问题。
We don't even desire what is right.
我们的本性甚至不愿向上。
Christ died to make us right with God.
而借着耶稣的死，使我们可以在神面前称义。
A husband loves his wife by doing what she needs.
丈夫借着满足妻子的需要来爱妻子。
It does not necessarily mean doing what she wants.
但并不意味着毫无限制地满足他。
Sometimes a man must make a difficult decision.
有时丈夫必须要做出很艰难的决定。
He believes it is right.
因为他确信这是正确的。
He believes it is best for his wife and his family.
他也确信这有益于他的妻子和家庭。
But his wife may not like it.
他的妻子可能会 不喜欢。
He does not have to do everything she likes.
但丈夫无需要做每一样和妻子心意的事。
But he should strive to do that which she needs.
但也要竭力去满足妻子的需要。
Furthermore, the pattern of Jesus suggests that a husband should also be concerned about the spiritual welfare of his wife.
并且耶稣的榜样也告诉丈夫应当思量妻子属灵上得着。
God gives us many good things in Christ.
神在耶稣上给了我们许多的赐享。
But most of all, he has cared for our spiritual need.
但排其首位的则是对人属灵需求的关怀。
A husband is responsible to get answers for his wife's spiritual questions.
丈夫有责任回答妻子属灵上的问题。
He should be sure that his wife is being fed spiritually.
他应该确保妻子的灵命得饱足。
Being head of the family is not just getting to make the decisions.
成为家里头并不仅仅是要做些决定。
He must act like a head.
他也必须在行为上也要像头。
He must give direction, nourish, and provide answers.
给出方向，以及提供属灵的养分和提供属灵的答案。
Paul concludes his directions to husbands and wives with verse 33.
在33节中，保罗以他对丈夫妻子的教导作为本章的结束。
Each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself.And the wife must respect her husband.
所以我们各位都当爱妻子，如同爱自己一样，妻子也当敬重她的丈夫。
The command may seem impossible.
这样的教导似乎无法成就。
It is no more possible than all of God's commands.
与神其他教导相比，似乎更难实践。
A man once asked Jesus what was the greatest commandment.
从前一个人问耶稣什么是最大诫命。
In Matthew 22, verses 37 to 39, it records Jesus' reply.
在马太福音22章37到39节中记录了耶稣的回答。
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind.
其中那句就是你要尽心、尽性、尽意爱主你的神。
This is the first and greatest commandment.
这就是最大的诫命。
And the second is like it.
第二条诫命就是爱人如己。
Love your neighbor as yourself.
那就是爱人如己。
A husband is to love his wife as himself.
丈夫爱妻子如同爱自己。
You are to love your neighbor as yourself.
我们也要爱邻居如同爱自己。
Is it possible in our own strength?
那么靠我们自己的力量能行得出来吗？
No.
当然不会。
We fail miserably.
因为我们已经输得很惨了。
If this is the standard by which God judges us, who can stand?
如果神用这条标准来审判我们，谁能站立得住？
Do you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind?
你们有没有尽心、尽性、尽意的爱神呢？
Do you love your neighbor as much as you care for yourself?
你们有没有爱人如己呢？
Husbands, do you love your wife as yourself?
做丈夫的，你们有没有爱妻子如同爱自己呢？
Wives, do you submit to your husband as to the Lord?
做妻子的，你们有没有顺服丈夫，如同顺服主呢？
We need forgiveness for failing to meet God's high standard.
我们需要神的赦免，因为我们无法达到神为我们设立的标准。
And He offers that forgiveness in Jesus Christ.
神也在耶稣那里面提供了赦免的恩典。
To accept the death of Jesus as being given for you in your place.
此时此刻，让我们接受耶稣为你死的真理吧。
And when you have done that, can you then love God with all your heart, soul, and mind?
那么当你接受了主，我们就可以尽心、尽性、尽意的爱神。
Will you love your neighbor as yourself?
我们就能够爱人如己。
Well, you will want to.
我们有这个渴望。
You will try to.
我们也会有这样的尝试。
But you will continue to need God's grace.
但是我们还是不断需要神的恩典。
Because we do fail.
因为我们人还是无能的。
We need God's grace to be forgiven.
我们需要借着神的恩典来饶恕。
And we need God's grace to forgive others.
我们也需要神的恩典来饶恕别人。
We need God's grace to grow and become better at what He wants.
我们更需要神的恩典 以便在灵里成长，越来越接近他的形象。
Living together as husband and wife as God desires is a spiritual challenge.
夫妻活出如神所愿的婚姻是一个属灵上的挑战。
But God is faithful.
但神是信实。
His grace is abundant.
他的恩典是丰盛的。
He strengthens us and he forgives.
神会坚固和宽恕我们的软弱。阿门。